Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's your calls, your real stories, as heard in the voices of people who've experienced them. Should be a good episode. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. We would love to hear your real ghost stories. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP, as we call them. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. You'll get access to all the bonus episodes. Get a brand new one every single week there. You get advanced episodes of the program, all commercial free there, by the way, and a whole bunch of other extras as well. So the shows, weeks before they go to the public, you get them. No ads. It's nice. And that $5 helps keep this program on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Planning our dark kitchen.
I am so excited. Is it totally different than you thought I'd ever go for?
Jenny has decided to become a vampire.
No, I haven't.
She's, well, it's funny. I mean, if you follow us, some people follow everything that we've done. And you followed like some of the home remodeling stuff on some other shows and things that we've worked on over the years. You know, Jenny likes lighter, brighter colors and things
like
that. And she's convinced me to like them too.
And I just like the way a space feels when it's light and bright.
And now she wants dark and scary.
No, she's not dark and scary.
It's really kind of weird.
Okay,
so she's got a bunch of tats now too.
No, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm afraid so.
No, but she's got tats all over her neck. She came home one day. I'm like, what's going on?
You wouldn't touch me again if I had a tat on my neck.
She's got a Ouija board on her butt. It's really kind of like
on my butt.
Yeah, I don't know what it's all about. It's weird.
Is it big enough for a Ouija board? What? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Just a weird place for a Ouija board. it's the opposite of everything you like because you hate Ouija boards. You like light and bright.
So the last two houses, the kitchen was the absolute very last thing we did. Like, the week before we sold the last house, Tony was still painting cabinets. So we decided this house, it's going to be the first thing we do so we can enjoy it. And, you know, we've done the white kitchen thing for two houses now. Yep. And you've always kind of liked dark kitchens. And because you are the one that does most of the cooking, I actually had a dream. I dreamt that we had a black kitchen, but it had white countertops and white backsplash. And it looked really cool. So I told you about it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, let's do it. And so tomorrow the cabinets are getting painted.
There we go.
Yeah.
I dreamt we had a hermit crab, so I'm getting a hermit crab. That's how far that goes. So
no, I'm excited. We don't have to paint the cabinets this time.
Yeah.
We're treating ourselves on that.
It'll be, So, that was difficult painting the last ones. It was a multi-week ordeal, I think is what it.
Yeah, the stain kept bleeding through the paint.
They kind of turned pink, and then we kept putting more white. It was like it needed an exorcism. It was like the cabinets were bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, like some people like, oh, there's blood coming out of the walls.
It was drippy, and it was kind of like, it was like dripping blood, so.
It was. It was like the cabinets were possessed.
But there's a way to fix that. And if you need to know, message me, and I'll tell you.
There you go. Just in case your cabinets ever start bleeding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online today. Whole bunch of calls. I figure it's been a while since we've done just a straight call show. And we have a ton of calls, like just archived, okay, waiting to be aired. So to do a little catch up on those, because a lot of people want to hear their calls on the air. So I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, because there's literally probably half a day's worth of calls waiting. But I just grabbed a handful, and we'll go through some calls today. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. My name is Michelle. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and I'm enjoying it so far, and I decided that I would make your show the one that I shared my story with. So my story goes back to 2010. I lived away from home for a couple of years, and I was newly married, so I moved back home to be closer to the family, and we rented an apartment in the downtown of our city, and it's located two blocks away from a historical cemetery. And it was originally a single dwelling, and it had been divided into three different apartments. And we, my husband and I, rented the front half of this structure. There were two apartments that consisted of the up and lower levels in the back of the house. But we owned or had access to all the front with a shared laundry area in the basement. So we had one room upstairs, there were two rooms downstairs, and a shared laundry room in the basement for all three apartments to use. So we moved in August 2010. We had two small dogs with us, and I was noticing that I was cleaning up after the dogs a lot. They seemed to be peeing everywhere frequently, and I wasn't sure why, so I was just getting upset at the dogs, thinking that they weren't adapting or adjusting well to the area or being left alone at home. So that went on for a while, and it was just frustrating. Every once in a while at night, I would see the dogs sort of slow down and get a different expression on their faces and sort of try to skulk and slip away, and then suddenly they would just scatter. And it was very sudden. They were definitely aware of something. They didn't like what it was, and it spooked them. And I would watch both of them scatter at the same time. And this happened a couple of times, and I started to notice, like, something is upsetting the dogs. And you could see when it was around. So in 2012, I got pregnant, and we were still living in the apartment. And so I contacted a woman I worked with to come and smudge the house. We were concerned there were spirits in the house or something, and we wanted to start taking some protection. My friend believes that new souls are at risk of ghosts and souls that have passed over, because they are stronger spirits than the new baby, and they can take over the baby's soul and resume living in our world versus staying on the other side where they are now. So my friend came over to smudge the whole house. The problem for her was that we only lived in the front half of the house. She could only do half of the house. So she did come in. She smudged the area for us. We said some prayers and lit a candle, and she told me that definitely there was something there. She was aware of a presence, and I said we'd felt it before too. And so she said, let me know if anything happens. So I went online, looked it up, how to help spirits move on. And so I went around my house, and I salted all the windows and doors. And around my front door, I hung a string of lights, and I sat down there, and for half an hour, it was go into the light, go into the light, go into the light. You can't be over here. This is the wrong side. You need to go. And, you know, I did as much as I knew how to do, and to no avail. There was still activity going on, and the dogs were still getting scared and scattered, and my husband and I were both very aware of something in the apartment now. So, and we didn't talk to the other tenants. We didn't know if this was going on in their spaces or not. One day when I was approximately 4 months pregnant, I was going downstairs into the basement. Because of the house renovation, this was a very narrow staircase into the basement. And being pregnant, I didn't want to slip and fall, so I was very cautious and slow, and I was carrying a basket of laundry. And I proceeded down the stairs, and as soon as one of my feet touched the floor in the basement, one of my husband's acoustic guitars, which was about 8 to 9 feet away from me at the stairs, one string plucked on the guitar. And I had one foot on the floor, and I looked at the guitar, and I just said, "You did not just do that. Do it again if you're here." And nothing. It didn't do it again. I said, "All right, I'm doing my laundry." So I went ahead to the room, tried to surround myself, and said, "You know, I'm surrounded by white light." Went into the laundry, did my laundry, came out, went back through that room again, went back upstairs again, and my husband came home and I told him what happened. And so we knew that something was there. Again, there's another indicator. So I contacted another one of my friends who lived in the same town, and she has a friend who is a psychic and has abilities after a near-death experience. So she contacted him, and he agreed to come over to our apartment. He came over with his wife and my friend, and I didn't know him. So when he came in, I started to try to make introductions and to introduce my husband and I. He didn't even look at us. He didn't even speak to us. He walked in and he said, okay, so what's happening over here is, and he just walked into the apartment. He went straight over to the top of the stairs, and he stood at the top of the stairs, and he turned around and he looked at us. He said, this is a female entity. She moves up and down between the floors in this spot. So on the top level, she was at the top of the stairs. In the lower level, she would be in the closet area of the extra room. And we told him what was going on in the house. And he told us that she was strongest upstairs in the kitchen, and she was trying to get the help of us, the living, because she had died wrongfully. And apparently on the hill near where we lived, there was a clue on a tree, and she wanted to help us to go there to find this to help resolve her death. I was pregnant, and I had to insist that, no, I cannot help you. It is not me. I'm not the one. You can't be near my spirit, baby, and you're not supposed to be here, and you need to move on. So he proceeded to tell me that she told him she was held down in the house by the salt. And he said that loud and looked at me. He says, she said the salt. And I just kind of freaked out and said, yeah, I salted the windows and the doors a while back. And he says, yeah, that's keeping her in. She can't get out. So after he left, of course, I immediately vacuumed up every single solitary inch of floor space in the apartment, all the doors, all the windowsills, above the windowsills, as much as I could to get the salt out. But he told us that she hadn't left. So we had a couple hours with them in our apartment, said some more prayers. They confirmed something was in there, and they left. So most of the talking was done by our friend, the psychic, and his wife and my friend, who were sitting in the kitchen area waiting for him, didn't talk very much at all when they were in our apartment. And afterwards, I spoke with my friend, and I said, so what did you get? Because I didn't get a chance to talk to you, and you were completely in the space. And she was telling me that she was receiving an Indigenous woman spirit. It was a Mary Rose or a Mary Jane. She couldn't make out the last name. And that there was a broken heart, something to do with a broken heart. And that's all she got. So we didn't go anything further with him. And later on, we were in the kitchen area of this tiny apartment. And my husband said he just stopped in front of the refrigerator. We would often hear knocks on the refrigerator. He stopped and he says, something just tried to walk through me. And I looked at him because I was sitting next to him. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, it just tried to walk through me. It's on me right now. And from the chair, I raised my right arm, and from the elbow, I moved it forward towards him as if I were going to karate chop him in the belly. And my forearm entered a field, and it was only half a field. It was only on half of my arm, and I went into it and pulled my hand out back again, re-entered my arm. I could feel this energy field again, and I pulled my hand back, and I said, I feel it. And he said, it's right here on me now, and it was on his right side. And if he felt that it was wrapped around him, and he felt that it was trying to pass through him, but that it was being stopped by his medicine bundle that he wears around his neck. And he thinks that the protection worked, and that's how the spirit was not able to go through him, but it did go around him. And he was definitely aware of the presence. I felt an energy field. It was on one side of my arm and not the other. It was when it was close to him, not away from him. And we couldn't see anything physically, but we knew there was an energy happening there. And so that was, we knew that she was still in the apartment, still trying to get through to us, still expressing her need for assistance. We couldn't do any more, so we continued to live in the apartment. The baby was born, and when the baby was 7 months old, we moved out of the apartment. We moved into a home on the other end of town. The home we bought has an animal grave in the backyard, in a corner, and I continued to see black shadows in the house. My mother was in the house on Christmas dinner with our family before she passed away the next day, and I believe her spirit's in our house now too. But I think I know who these are, and I think I'm okay with them, so this is all different having them live with us now. And they're in our home, and this is our home, not our rented space. So I'm hoping it will be different, and I hope that we're going to be okay with all of them. And I still feel badly that there was nothing I could do to help the female spirit at our old apartment. And I hope someone has. So that's my story, Tony. Thank you. I can be reached at area code 8.
And that's where we don't need
you to hear almost them. Broke the button trying to pull that down so
I
fast.
I did break the button.
Oh, no.
Where'd the button go?
Look on the floor behind you.
Oh, there it is.
We try and protect everybody's privacy, even at the, risk of damaging our equipment.
There we go. Got the button back in there.
God, you feel so vulnerable anyway when you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that would be too much to know that there's something else in the house that doesn't want to leave because it needs your help. But I would be so curious to go see what that clue is.
I would... Do you want to, though? I mean, or that possibly bring it more back into your life because you're showing interest in it and you're...
It won't leave till you do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's... what's interesting to me is a lot of times there's this assumption that... And it really... I don't think it's true all the time. There's this assumption that the living... must help the dead pass on. I think sometimes they're happy.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily wanting to pass on. It's very much this thought like, oh, we have to do this. We have to do this. We have to help you go to the light or whatnot. You may not want them in your house. I understand that. But I think there's some ways where it can be a peaceful coexistence. One doesn't really see the other. But I think it's also very human for us to put these assumptions out there that they always are, it's always our duty to help them move on to the light or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like she didn't necessarily want to move on. She just wanted her killer to be found.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but that would be maddening not being able to figure out what is going on and then still having things torment you throughout your home to home, no matter where you go. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hey, everybody. This is Summer in Buffalo. I wanted to give you a call and give you an update on my almost 200-year-old farmhouse that we bought last February. I had something really interesting kind of happen, and I don't know if it's related so much to the house or I don't know. But anyway, so our Christmas tree was in our dining room, which has like vaulted ceilings. And we had a nice tree this year, about 7.5 feet, and nicely decorated. Everybody was home. Everybody was upstairs except for me. I was downstairs in the kitchen. I was doing some dishes, and all of a sudden, I hear from the dining room, I hear a big tink, and I walk in there, and we have, I have a lot of ornaments from over the years, a particular set that I've had since I was a kid. There's these two beautiful porcelain Santas that were hand-painted by some friend of the family. And two have survived, one with my name on it and one with my dad's name. And they're dated 1986. And I put them at the very, as high up as I possibly can because I have, a toddler and I have cats. And I also put them as deep into the branch that I can. So because they're a little heavy, I just want to make sure that they don't fall. off the tree. So I walk in there after I hear this noise, and because I'm thinking to myself, oh, geez, what fell off the tree? I hope everything's okay. And the one ornament that is with my name on it from 1986 is sitting face up about 10 feet in front of the tree. Perfectly, not broken, not shattered, not anything, just sitting on the floor straight up. We have hardwood floors. And the distance kind of confused me, because if it would have fell, I would have heard a couple dinks, you would think, you know, like dink, 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 and then it would have probably landed wherever it landed or broke, one of the two. But this was just one noise, and I said, oh, okay. And I didn't think anything of it. I said, oh, well, it just fell off the tree. Let me go ahead and put it back up. But just as I reached down to pick it up and place it back on the tree, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. A big white ball of light was floating in the air about a foot from me. And it wasn't, the room is in the back of the house, so it's not like I can get reflections from the street or cars going by. I mean, there's no angle that would work. And not that it was against the wall. This was about a foot from my face, floating in midair. And then it just kind of flew down and then disappeared into the floor. And I was kind of processing it, or trying to process it at the time, because I'd never seen anything like it. And I was just standing there, and I just kind of finally said, okay, either I'm having a seizure, or, you know, whoever is visiting, hello. I just kind of blew it off that way. I said, could you please not mess with these ornaments? They're really special to me, and they're really old. Thank you, but, you know, no thanks. And I kind of just put the ornament back on the tree, and then I left the room, and that was it. The shadows have increased around the house. Again, I don't get any kind of bad vibe being in the home. There are certain areas where I do feel like I'm being watched, especially in the kitchen, but it's an interesting place, to say the least, but I don't feel threatened in any way, and nothing's happened with my kids or the animals or anything like that. But that was my most recent occurrence, and I thought I would share. So anyway, hope you guys have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Thoughts?
I think ornaments are one of those things that hold a lot of emotion. People don't think about that when they think about haunted items. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying her ornaments are haunted, but I could see that holding a lot of energy, you sure. know, because I know, like, you and I really value our ornaments that we've had since we were children. And
yeah.
I know that a lot of people do that, you mm-hmm. know, that they have keepsake ornaments. And that's just one of those things that you don't really think about. But I could see that definitely holding on to something.
I think it's an interesting thing, because I think you're right that those are things that do hold a lot of emotion and energy, possibly. So it makes you wonder sometimes that people think of, you know, creepy, scary attics and things. Well, what could possibly be up there? A lot of times your ornaments are up in the attic just waiting.
Or old wedding dresses.
Yeah, stuff like that. There's a lot of things that are hiding in attics that at one point in time held a very big significance to either yourself or someone, and now you are in possession of it. Mm-hmm. If you want to guarantee a haunting this next holiday season, steal an ornament from a lot of homes. Just every holiday get-together you go to, take an ornament.
No.
Preferably like baby's first Christmas ones and stuff.
That's terrible.
And then put them on your tree, and they'd be like, how many children do you have in a baby's first Christmas? Oh, no, I just have a hobby of stealing other people's ornaments. Guaranteed you're going to get haunted as shit for doing something like that.
That's messed up.
It would be like a really, that would be a weird thing. I don't think anyone's done like a horror movie on that, where it's like this person that has a compulsion to steal Christmas ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. And then they get just, you know, destroyed in their home. That'd be great.
No.
That'd be a great holiday movie. 855-853-4802. is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi.
Hey, Kelly. I'm a new listener. My name is Trish. I wanted to tell you a story that I have many, many stories. I am a psychic, born psychic. These abilities that I have were passed down to me from my mother, from as far as I could tell. We have sort of the same gift. And I'll tell you one specific incident that happened in the last 3 years. So about 3 years ago, my mom wanted to go shopping with Mother's Day. And we live in the Sacramento County, but we're from the Central Valley. And she wanted to go to a little town outside Modesto, sort of like a little country town, very old town. They are sort of known for having lots of antique shops. So we've been there before. So we go to downtown, this little town, and we noticed that there was a new antique shop, you know, in an existing building. So we get into this antique shop, and there's four people in there, including my mom and myself. You know, the person that works there, another random shopper, my mom and I. So we're walking around downstairs, and I have my phone in my hand, whatever I'm texting, and I notice that there's an upstairs, so I start walking towards the stairs. And as I get almost to the bottom of the stairs, I start to have a vision, and that's how my gift worked. So I walk, you know, I kind of identify what's going on inside of me, and I stop. And I see a man leaning over from the top of the stairs, over the railing, sort of looking down at me. He's angry and nervous. That's what I sense from him. And when I'm talking about, I see him sort of in my third eye, inside of my head, and that's how, again, my gift works. Sometimes I hear dialogue as well. And what I sort of heard from him is, like, he didn't really say, like, go away. He just sort of made it known with gestures and sounds. He didn't want me there. And what I sensed is that he was just nervous and pissed off that there was someone in his place. So I know, again, I've lived with this gift most of my life, you know, as far back as I can remember. And I also worked with a life coach who was also a psychic to sort of help me understand and kind of handle the things that happened to me. So what my life coach told me is when I see things, kind of come back to reality and take pictures of things that are around me. I had my phone in my hand, so I began to take pictures. I took pictures of the brick wall that was lining the stairs. I walked up the stairs, and as I was walking up the stairs, I was sort of talking to him internally, like, I'm not going to hurt you. This is a store now. There are lots of other people here, even though there weren't, but there were a few. You know what I mean? I'm not going, please don't hurt me. You know, I didn't get the sense that he was going to. I felt like he was trying to scare me. So as I got to the top of the stairs, there was a mirror at the top of the stairs. That scared me. I took a picture of the mirror. As I walked up and kind of met the top of the stairs, he walked around me and was, like, right behind me. And it was terrifying. This man looked like he was from the 1800s. He was really tall and thin. He had on a bow tie. So I leaned over the railing, much, almost the same place where I saw him looking down at me. And I still had my phone in my hand, and I was just talking to him and asking him to back up because he was right behind me. So I texted my mom to come upstairs, and I didn't say a word to her. My mom also has the same gift that I do. So... she was looking at her phone much like I was. I was looking over the railing just like he was, but I was looking down at her, and she got halfway up the stairs and stopped and looked up at me and said, there's something up there. And I said, yes, there is. And she said, I'm not going up. I said, you need to come up here. So she came up, and she was much more afraid. And as I sort of turned around, he began to back off a little bit. I mean, his intent was to scare me and to scare my mom, I think. As I turned around to start looking around at the upstairs store area, I also saw a woman. And she looked more like she was from the 70s, maybe? Something like that. Totally different eras, two different people. She didn't say a word. She saw me, she realized that I saw her. She looked at me briefly and then went and sat down in a chair. He stood against the wall. So, long story short, we go back downstairs. This is a pretty extensive experience. I asked the guy that works there. At this point, there's no one in the store but my mom, myself, in the store, the person that works there. So I say to him, Has anybody ever reported experiences to you? And he smiled at me. He said, what sort of experiences? And I said, well, I think I saw something upstairs. And he said, something ghostly? And he nodded. And so he reached around the back of the counter and he pulled out a card from an A&E show. And it was one of the ghost shows. And he said, who did you see? And I said, I saw a male and a female. And he said, oh, you saw them both. And proceeded to tell me who they were. So in the 1800s, it was a pharmacy. The shop that I was in was a pharmacy. And the man that I saw lived upstairs behind the mirror. The mirror that scared me. There was a door back there that I didn't see. The woman, it became a Woolworth that store in the 70s, late 60s, apparently. That is the woman that I saw. Her name was Helga. So I had confirmation not only from the store of other people seeing the same people, the same ghosts, but also psychics. So the A&E psychics, I guess, were driving through the area. They were coming back from another location from filming in the area. And there were supposedly two or three psychics in this car, and they told the producers or whatever, you need to go into this town. There's something here. And that's the store they were led to. So at the time, he told me, I cannot talk to you about the name of the show or when the show came out. I had to sign a contract. I'm actually the owner of this store. But you will see, you know, just do a Google search, you know, in a little bit here, you know, in a couple months, and you'll be able to locate the show from this town. So much confirmation. That sort of thing has happened to me, not as elaborate and not as confirming, but throughout my life. So I have many other stories.
There you go.
So that's what I wonder half the time when I go through an antique store and I feel like there's something there. Is it the antiques or is it the store itself? Because almost all antique stores were something before they were an antique store.
Yeah, that's what I like to play that game.
There's a lot of them, you know, there's not many of them that were built just to be an antique store. Most of them were something else.
Most of them are antiques.
Yeah.
Building itself.
Yeah. Like my favorite one here, we talked to the owners and they said there was something there. I didn't feel like it was threatening, but it locks the door. It locks people in. Do you remember that?
Which one? You probably don't want to say the one on the air.
I don't know that I want to say it.
Is it in town?
No, it's in a town close by.
Oh, I know what you're talking. Yeah, we talked about ghost stories, right?
Yes.
And they said that they had stuff in their... Yeah, yep, I remember that.
Yeah, they have a spirit there and he actually locks the doors.
Yeah.
Because somebody went to the door and tried to open it and it was locked.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Middle of the day. Yeah.
Ghost starts fires and locks you in.
Well, didn't start a fire.
No, but that would be scary.
Yeah.
If a ghost did that. One of my favorite antique stores is, it's actually in the original, it's not the original Walmart, but it's the original Superstore Walmart.
So before, you know, before there was the Walmart, there was a Walton's.
It's like a Five and Dime.
Yeah. And that's a museum now, but the original Walmart, the way we know them.
Yeah.
Is an antique store now.
Exactly. And it was, it's kind of neat. You walk around like this was a tiny Walmart, but that's, I think like the neighborhood markets are bigger than what this was, but this was the original, you know, Walmart that, like you said, like, as we know it, department store Walmart. Mm-hmm. And now it's an antique store. You can't really, like, if you didn't know that it was a Walmart, you'd think it was just an old grocery store or something is kind of the vibe that it has. But you can look up pictures of it and see what it looked like at originally. Like, oh, that's the first Walmart. That's kind of neat. I don't know. I like wandering around. I like old stores that have the architecture to try and figure out what it was. When they were old grocery stores, that's a fun one. Mm-hmm. There was a Big Lots that used to be in an old Kohl's grocery store. Yes, Kohl's used to have a grocery store line. Okay. In the same Kohl's that we all know, they had a grocery store. It wasn't combined. It was just a separate entity. But they had, a lot of them were in Wisconsin, and they have very distinct architecture. It was that kind of curved roof, big like semicircle piece coming out of the ground. And a lot of the structures are still around today, and they're being used for many other things. But there was a Big Lots in one when I was a kid. And I remember wandering around there because the architecture in that store was really kind of neat. They had the neatest light fixtures, and I've never found one. I've always been looking to, they were just giant, cylindrical, they had kind of interesting like designs cut into the metal. If the thing fell on you, you'd be cut into pieces. Mm. But there was a neat light fixture.
Sure.
And then where they had those up, they're probably, you know, extremely expensive to keep on, and they eventually replaced them all. But it was, I like that. I like looking around at what was.
Yeah.
That to me is half the fun of going to antique stores. She's talking about a show that she said you can Google here in a couple of months. I just recently learned today that there was a horror movie filmed in our neighborhood.
I know.
Yeah. And in the area in general, there's many things. And I looked up the trailer to it. It was a pretty shitty movie.
Yeah.
From what I think it's on Netflix only. I don't know, but it was like these people go in to like this mansion or something. And I'm like, well, what house is that? And trying to figure it out. There's some big ones around here, but
is the house in here?
I believe so. Okay. I believe it was, I think that was like the setting, like the big house that they go into with like the crazy shit going on and was in our hood.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe if we watch the movie more than just a trailer, we could figure out. Like,
there's all size houses in here.
Wouldn't you be know? Freaked out if it was like this house? Not that this is a mansion or anything.
It's not a mansion.
I mean, I think the way it looked in nothing pointed to it being this house by any means. It looked like a giant house in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. It's probably somewhere way over there. But kind of interesting.
You'll have to show me that and see if I can figure out which house it is.
Yeah, I good luck. Maybe if we watch, I just know that I want to sit through this movie because it looks bad. It looks, and there's like okay, like younger actors in it that I don't know who they are, but I recognize them from other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was kind of surprised. I'm like, I'm surprised that person's in this movie.
Did you message the neighbors to see which house it is?
Because no.
We've got like this gossip board for the neighborhood where they all share stuff, and I think you should ask which house is it.
That'd be interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should ask that. Yeah, we, me and Jenny deciding to go and be social and have friends now, had the genius idea the other night. Why don't we just put it out on our neighborhood community Facebook page? Let's see who's interested in getting together for like an appetizer group or a club or, you know, just to meet people,
mm-hmm.
you know, hang out, you know. Eat, drink, and be merry, as you said in the thing. And you thought you're like, you're going to hear crickets.
Yeah.
And now it's like, because so many people responded, we now have to like plan multiple parties to accommodate.
And see, these people don't know us yet. The whole point was to meet our neighbors.
Yeah.
And they don't know how weird we are yet. And to me, the inner Daria in my mind said, nobody's going to come. They're going to message you and say, you're weird. We're not coming.
That specific message, you're weird, we're not coming.
Yeah. 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 No, that's not at all what happened. So now we've got to actually act normal for a little while.
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be like three groups.
But I'm looking forward to meeting the people.
I am too.
I think it should be good. We're not that weird. Once people get to know us, they'll be like, oh, they're weird. But, you know, no. One thing I did do before posting that, because on my Facebook page, I keep my personal Facebook page personal. I just thrown that out there. So if anybody's friend requesting me on my personal Facebook page, I don't accept friend requests on there other than like family or business contact type things. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you can follow me on Instagram and everything else, and it's virtually the same stuff, but I have one channel I just keep private.
Yeah.
But you know, you have like the big cover photo thing on there. I did have a big graphic up there that had our three show logos on it. Just to identify, especially when I'm setting up interviews with people, I usually communicate via that. So they can identify me immediately. And I thought, well, when I throw this out there, they're going to go and look at my profile.
Sure.
I should probably take that down for now. So I saw a picture of Harper, you know, with their tennis stuff.
Yeah.
Looks normal. It doesn't like, oh, who's this neighbor? The Grave Talks. Mm-hmm. Real ghost store, office horror stories. What the hell? So I figure we can, that's one of those things where you want to be able to conversate on that and they can ask questions, not just be immediately scared.
Well, and sometimes depending on how comfortable we are with the people, we tell them we don't tell them what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we'll tell them we do something more normal like radio and TV ads, which you do.
Sure.
But not to the level you do podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends. We kind of have to build the level of trust there that they're not going to judge us or misunderstand the kind of people we are.
Mm-hmm.
because people will do that.
I want to put a Ouija board out on the by the cheese board when we have people. That's, it's like cheese board, Ouija board. What if you use a Ouija board for a cheese board? You put like different
that's
types
messed
of cheese.
Up. Then you've got haunted cheese.
You use a planchette to like spread the cheese.
You've got haunted cheese.
Haunted cheese. Yeah. That's what happens. I'm letting it out. I think we should not like hold back and say
you just want people to accept us for who we are from the get-go.
They do or they don't.
And then the next time you put an invite out, there'll be crickets.
Thank you, Daria.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I imagine it will come out with all the people asking because it will be a conversation. What do you do? And you know.
Yeah, I know.
Radio, TV commercials.
I'm just hopeful though that Harp will make friends that she can have for playdates. You know, we won't be that house like you can't send your kids over there. Because
well, we're not the Addams Family.
No, we're not the Addams Family.
So I think they'll like us. I hope. We're going to have a lot of leftover appetizers. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the advanced episodes, the bonus episodes, brand new ones every week, all ad-free, all there. Check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.